boom. Amen. You do what you've been told to do. Amen. And that's the rest of us. Let's open our Bible. Let's open our heart tonight. As Brother Hart comes to preach the word of the Lord. God bless you, sir.
Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to know that the Lord is real. Amen. I said the Lord is real. And when we come into the house of the Lord, we have a real church. Because we serve a real God. Amen. And He has real people. That they participate in real worship. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. I like to get real. We used to sing a song, "It's real, it's real. I know it's real. These Pentecostal blessings, and I know it's real." How many of you know it's real tonight? Praise God. It's genuine. Praise God. It comes from heaven. And I'm glad that He is real in my soul. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to get right into the Word. We have missed being here the past couple of Sundays. But I even have been told you've been having some great church. So let's have great church again tonight. Praise the Lord. We might as well get in on it tonight. Praise God, because He's here. We used to go down to the river and we'd test the waters to see if everything was all right. And we would say, one of the things we'd say is, "Come on in, the water's fine." I believe the water's fine tonight. So let's get on in and let's enjoy the presence of the Lord tonight. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to begin reading from verse number 2 and to read several verses of Scripture through verse number 5. And we're going to be talking tonight about the inheritance that you and I, as saints of God, we have an inheritance. There's a lot in the Bible about an inheritance. Throughout the Old and the New Testament, an inheritance is a major theme of Scripture. So let's begin tonight with verse 2. The Bible says, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." The inheritance. Praise the Lord. We have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to ask Pastor Grissom if he would pray. Amen. And everybody says amen. You may be seated. The concept of an inheritance is a major theme throughout the Bible. God promised the seed of Abraham an earthly inheritance. And we who are the spiritual seed of Abraham by faith, and by virtue of the new birth experience, have received a promise of an heavenly inheritance. And an inheritance is not something that we have earned. It's not something that we deserve. But God gives us an inheritance on the basis of relationship. An inheritance is reserved for those that are members of the family. We have an heavenly relationship because that we have been born into the family of God. And as sons of God, we are heirs and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The only condition that is placed upon our inheritance is our faith in God. I'm thankful tonight that we have faith, that we believe in the promise of God, that we have an inheritance in the heaven that is undefiled, that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible and that fadeth not away, that's reserved in heaven for you and for me. I'm glad that He has reserved that place. He has reserved for you and I a place in glory where we shall enjoy the blessings of God for all eternity. I would like to return to one scripture in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse number 14. The Bible says, "Thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thine inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess." In the Holy Land that God allotted the land by tribe and by family, and that inheritance was to pass down from generation to generation. It was not to be removed from tribe to tribe, but if it was assigned to the tribe of Manasseh, it was to remain the possession of Manasseh. If it was assigned to the tribe of Judah, it was to remain to the tribe of Judah. And so it was a very serious matter to remove a landmark. That they marked the boundaries of their land often by plowing a double furrow upon the ground, that when they came to that double furrow, that they knew that that was the limit of that particular plot of ground. But they had to have something that was fixed. They had to have something that was immovable. They had to have something that would stand the test of time. And so that they would pile up a pile of rocks, or they would put a large boulder or stone, and that would serve as a cornerstone. It would serve as a boundary stone, so that whenever they came back over after the passage of years or even decades or centuries, that they could still mark the boundaries of their inheritance. That God has given the people of God an inheritance that is more important than anything that He ever gave to His earthly people. And yet, that our inheritance is just as valuable. It is just as important that we know our limitations. It's important that we know what God has given to us, that we enjoy our inheritance to the fullest extent, because it is ours, that He bought and paid for it. He delivered it unto us that we might walk the length and the breadth of our inheritance and be blessed for the blessings of the kingdom of God. We have landmarks, that we have statutes, that we have boundaries that tell us, that sets us apart, that we might cherish what God has given us, that we might might give thanks where God has placed us, because we are a people that are separated. We are a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. And God has given us something that will last for all eternity. We have an inheritance with the saints of God. We have a heritage as apostolic believers, that we should not remove the landmarks, but that we should remember that this was appointed to us by God, and He delivered us out of bondage, and He set us in the midst of the land that we might enjoy the blessings of the kingdom of God. That Israel today has a claim upon the promised land that is just as legitimate today as it was 4,000 years ago when God first spoke it as a promise. It still belongs to the people of God. It still belongs to the children of Israel. And the Bible tells us that one day that Israel shall once again walk in the land that God promised unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. It will be a land of milk and honey. It will be a land overflowing with the bountiful blessings of God, because God gave them an inheritance of eternal value. And it belongs to the people of God today. God watches over that inheritance. He protects it just as He watches over His spiritual heritage. For God is a God, amen, that is a blessing to those that will put their faith and trust in Him. God watches over our inheritance as the spiritual heirs of the kingdom of God. His heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, that He protects our inheritance from corruption, from defilement, and from the ravages of time. Just as He watches over us as individual believers, He watches over our inheritance. The Bible says when He returns again, will He find faith in the earth? I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back for a bride, and He's going to find a church that's looking for His appearing. He's going to find a church that has a heritage that it believes in. It has a love for the things of God. It recognizes the boundaries that God has placed upon it, because we are a chosen people, separate and holy and undefiled, that we might bear witness to the holiness of God and to His righteousness. And somebody say, praise the Lord. We have an inheritance. And our ultimate inheritance is the redemption of our body, soul, and spirit. The Bible tells us that we are waiting for our inheritance, that we shall enter into our eternal rest when Jesus Christ returns again for His bride. We are going to enter into that salvation that we have received a portion of. The Bible says that He has given us salvation, the earnest of our inheritance. We've got just a little foretaste of heaven, but we don't have everything yet. He has purchased for us, amen, healing from all sickness, sickness and disease. In our eternal inheritance, there's not going to be one feeble person among us. There's not going to be anyone that's halt or blind or maimed, because the Bible says that by His stripes we are healed, that we're going to step in to the bounty of heaven, and we're going to finally know what our inheritance and our rights and our privileges are as the children of Almighty God, because we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. It's on reservation, but I believe that it's mine. I believe that it's yours. I believe that it belongs to the family of God. I didn't earn it. I don't deserve it, but I thank God that I'm part of the family, because I was born into this church. I was born by the water and the Spirit. Can you say praise the Lord? You see, the inheritance is all about relationship. The only condition is that you've got to be a part of the family. You've got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a family relationship. Oh, I want to be one of those that has a right to the privilege of the kingdom of God. We are heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ because we've been begotten by a lively hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because He lives, I know that we shall live also because we have an inheritance. There were five daughters, the daughters of a man by the name of Zelophehad, of the tribe of Manasseh. And they were the only offspring of their father. And there was a promise given when they left the land of Egypt that they were going to possess a land that was flowing with milk and honey, that they were going to enter into the promised possession. But their father, Zelophehad, died having no sons. And there was no provisions that were made in the law of Moses for a daughter to inherit what belonged to her father. And so these five girls by the name of Mahla and Noah and Hogla and Milcah and Tirzah, I'm sure glad that we've got better at naming girls than they were back then. But that was their names. These five girls, the only offspring of their father Zelophehad, and they went before Moses. They had a desire. They had faith that they should inherit the inheritance that belonged to their father, and they would not be denied, even though they didn't deserve it. They didn't have a right. They didn't have a title deed to the land, but there was something that stirred within them that said, we need to go to the house of the Lord. If you've got a problem, if you want to claim something, you need to go to the house of God, because you'll find your answer at the altar. You'll find your answer, amen, at the house of worship. They went to the tabernacle and the gate of the tabernacle, and they stood before Moses and they stood before Eleazar the priest, and they put their petition before the man of God. They didn't run about the neighborhood murmuring and complaining and saying how unfair it was that they, the daughters of Zelophehad, were being disinherited because they were a bunch of girls. No, they weren't murmuring and they weren't complaining. They just took their petition to the one that could make a difference. If you've got a need in your life, if you'll just take it to Jesus, everything will be all right. You don't have to tell your neighbor. You don't have to murmur and complain to those in the congregation, but just take it to the house of God and let the man of God go to the throne, and God will answer your need. And God always knows just exactly what we have need of. They took their need to Moses. And the only authority Moses had was the authority that God gave him. And there wasn't anything in the book. There wasn't any provision, amen, for daughters. There wasn't anything that gave them a right to inherit their father's inheritance. And so Moses did what any wise man would do. He took it, the matter, to God. He took it to the throne of the Lord. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Lord answered Moses. If you'll take your need to the Lord that I serve is able to hear and answer your prayer. He'll give you an answer. He'll give you direction. He'll tell you what you need to do, because all direction comes from the altar. Praise God, if you're going to find an answer, you'll find it at the throne of God. And so God spoke to Moses. And you know what God said? He said, you know what, Moses? Those girls are right. You mean they're right? They're right. They're right. They've got a legitimate gripe. They got a legitimate petition. And the Lord said to Moses, He said, I'm going to amend the law. I'm going to extend the provisions. Oh, I want you to know when God changes things, He never takes anything away. God will never limit you. That God will never make it narrower, but God will just make it broader. God will just provide more than He ever, amen, ever promised before. And that's what God did. He just extended the law. He just broadened the law to totally take in, amen, daughters such as the daughters of Zelophehad. And this is what God said. Because their father was a faithful man, he didn't cause division in the body. He didn't stand with Dathan and Abihu. He didn't stand with Korah when they tried to divide the church. But he stood faithful, amen, behind the man of God. Because he was a faithful man, God said, I'm going to extend the law. I'm going to broaden the boundaries. And so if a man dies and he doesn't leave any sons to inherit, God said, I'm going to award their daughters. If they don't have any sons, then the inheritance will go to the daughters. And if the man doesn't have any daughters, well, God went even further. They didn't ask for all this. But God, amen, I want you to know that God doesn't take away. He just adds to. Isn't that great? God won't take away from what you've got. God will just add to it. When you come to God, He's not going to take away what you've already got. He's just going to add to your experience. He's just going to broaden your boundaries. He's just going to enlighten you and show you a greater vision of His will and His purpose for your life. God said, if he doesn't have any daughters, then let the inheritance pass on to the man's brothers. And if the man doesn't have any brothers, then let it pass on to the father's brothers. And if his father doesn't have any brothers, then it pass it on to the nearest relative. You begin to get the picture. If you can't find anybody, amen, that's worthy of inheritance, find somebody, because we've got to pass it on. We've got an inheritance that's too valuable to not let it pass on to the next generation. We've got something that's so wonderful that we want to share it with whoever will. Let whoever will come and drink of the waters of life freely. It's without price. Amen. Come and drink from the fountain of living waters. Just find somebody to be, amen, an heir to the inheritance. I'm glad that God is still passing it on. That God is still looking for somebody that will inherit the promises of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He's still looking for those that will walk into the promises of the apostles, that will walk in the apostolic doctrine. It doesn't matter what your background. It doesn't matter your genealogy. Amen. The only relationship that matters to God is a relationship that you have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can be a part of the family if you'll just cry out to the God that created heaven and earth. You can be an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Just pass it on. Amen. Just pass it on. There's only one thing that you cannot inherit. You cannot inherit a relationship with God. It doesn't matter whether mama and daddy serve the Lord. It doesn't matter whether your husband or wife serve God. You cannot inherit a relationship. You've got to come about a relationship with Jesus Christ on your own. You've got to ask for Him. You've got to seek Him with all your heart, because God doesn't have any grandchildren. I said, God didn't have no grandchildren. You can't be an heir of His promises because of what mom and dad lived. Oh, it's wonderful. Your mom and dad, if you come from a family of Christians, oh, that's a wonderful heritage to have. But when you stand before the throne of God, that you can't buy your way into the kingdom of God. Your genealogy doesn't make a hill of beans to God. The only way that you can enter the kingdom of God is to have a relationship with God that you've established on your own through prayer and fasting and the reading of the Word of God, because God didn't have no grandchildren. Oh, God has His sons and daughters. Amen. That all of God's children are first generation. Hallelujah. Amen. According to the earthly genealogy, I'm a fifth generation apostolic. But that don't count for nothing in heaven. That don't count for nothing in the kingdom of God. I'm a one God apostolic tongue talking preacher. Amen. Because of something that happened to me a long time ago at an altar prayer, that Jesus Christ came into my life and I was filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Every child that comes into the kingdom is a first generation apostolic. So you're no better and you're no worse. If you're the only one in your family that is in the kingdom of God, because God doesn't have no grandchildren, the only children that He has are those that have been born by the Holy Ghost. We're begotten through the power of the Spirit. We're begotten by the preaching of the Word of God. God has given us an inheritance eternal in the heavens, reserved unto the coming of the Lord. And God has given us something else. Go ahead and start coming up. God has given us a guarantee of our possession. How do you know that you have an inheritance? How do you know that you're in the will? Do you know what a testament is? It's a will. And God set aside the first will in order to establish the second. We're not walking under the law of Moses, but we have a higher law than they had. We're not walking according to commandments that are written down in stone or upon a piece of paper. But the law that we live by is written upon the fleshly table of our heart. We have a higher law. In the Old Testament, the Bible said, thou shalt not kill. But the New Testament says, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. The Old Testament says, thou shalt not commit adultery. But the New Testament says if you even look on a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery in your heart. In the Old Testament, Moses allowed them to put away their wives by giving them a bill of divorcement. But Jesus said any man or any one that divorces their wife, amen, except for the cause of fornication, causes that person to commit fornication. And they said, that's too hard. Then maybe it's better that nobody gets married. Isn't that what they said to Jesus? John the Baptist looked at King Herod, and Herod had married his brother's wife, which was unlawful. And John looked at him and said, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And it made him mad. And so when there was having a party one day, and the stepdaughter of Herod was dancing, that the crowd was so overpowered by her beauty that Herod offered to give her even to the second in the kingdom. She could have anything she wanted. And you know what she asked for? How many know what she asked for? She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Well, she got her wish, but she didn't take away John's reward. He did not hesitate to preach, "Thus saith the Word of God." Hallelujah. We have an inheritance. I don't want to forfeit that inheritance. Amen. I don't want to preach things that tickle the ears. I don't want to preach things that are soft and easy and make our flesh comfortable. But if the Word of God doesn't pierce, my Bible says the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. I mean, sometimes it cuts. Have you ever been cut by the Word of God? It cuts both ways. It cuts up here and it cuts out there. It's a two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. We have an inheritance. We have something wonderful that we look for, that we anticipate as the family of God. I don't want to lose faith. I don't want to stumble now. I don't know where you are on the journey of life, but wherever you are, just go forward. You can't go back and undo the damage of yesterday, but you can march forward in the light of His glory and His grace. Nobody's going to go to heaven because they deserved it. Nobody's going to go because they're without sin. Nobody's going to go because that of their own personal righteousness. But we're going to go because of who we are. How many of you are children of God? Would you stand? If you're a child of God, if you've been born again of the water and the Spirit, amen, there's a guarantee that you have an inheritance. And the Bible says that guarantee is the Holy Ghost that Jesus has put in your soul. It's the earnest of your inheritance. It's a down payment on glory. The Lord says, if you think this is wonderful, you hadn't seen nothing yet. Eye has not seen, heareth not heard, neither that enter into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. But we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance tonight that's incorruptible, that's undefiled, and that fadeth not away. Time does not diminish its value. The attack of the enemy does not diminish its value, because this inheritance is pure gold. This inheritance is going to be there if you'll go all the way with Jesus, because He's faithful. That promise. The promise of God is just as real today as it was in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. For this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Amen. He's still allowing people to enter into the kingdom by being born again of the water and the Spirit. It's all about relationship. It's all about being a part of the family of God. If you're in the family, then you're an heir. Woo! Hallelujah! I said, if you're in the family, you're an heir to the kingdom of God. You're either in the family or you're not in the family. I'm glad that we're in the family tonight. We're in the family of God. Oh, hallelujah. These altars are open as we begin to sing. And those that would come, begin to come. Let's lift our hands and give glory and honor to Jesus tonight. Praise God.
Born again, there's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Of Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been born again.
Hallelujah, worship the Lord.
Oh, born again, that's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. Oh, I've been born again, and all because of Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been born again.
Let's praise Him.
A change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. I've been born again, and all because of Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been born again. I've been born again. There's really been a change in me. Born again, just like Jesus said. I've been born again, and all because of Calvary. Oh, I'm so glad that I've been born again. It's all right. It's all right. Through the storm, He'll give me light, and He'll answer when upon His name I call. Well, it's all right. It's all right. I will never fear the night. It's all right since I've talked with the Lord. It's all right. It's all right. Through the storms, He'll give me light. He will answer when upon His name I call. Well, it's all right. It's all right. I will never fear the night. It's all right since I've talked with the Lord. Upon His name I call. Well, it's all things I've talked with the Lord. It's all right, it's all right. Through the storm He'll give me light, and He'll answer when upon His name I call. And it's alright, it's alright. I will never fear the night. It'll be alright, since I've talked with the Lord.
Oh yes. Oh yes, I'm a child of the King, and His royal blood now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can see. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Oh, yes, oh, yes, I'm a child of the King, and His royal now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God, I'm a child of the King. Amen, hallelujah. Anybody a child of the King here tonight? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I was thinking, as Brother Hart was saying, that one thing you can't inherit is an experience. But I tell you what you can inherit. You can inherit knowledge. Amen. Somebody can tell you about the inheritance and how you can get it.
Right, amen.
Amen. Parents and grandparents, that's your job. You know what it takes. And your obligation is to pass it down.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. That's what Paul said to Timothy. He said, I saw the same thing in your grandmama.
Yes.
And she passed it on to your mama. And your mama passed it on to you. Amen. Praise God. And so the good news tonight is that you can't pass on the experience. Everybody has to get that for themselves. But you can tell them how to receive the experience. And you can influence them with everything that's in you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. This is good, isn't it? Great message. Thank you, sir. God bless you. We're so happy to have Brother Martin tonight. Amen. Hadn't seen him in a day or two. Sister Martin's here somewhere. There she is. Amen. And the little Martins. Amen. We're doing our very best to share them, but it's not easy. Amen. And so we want you to know that we love you and appreciate you, and you left a great big empty spot here. Amen. And what I've learned is you don't fill other people's shoes.
That's right.
You got all you can do to fill your own. So you don't try to fill somebody else's shoes. Somebody asked a preacher one time, the pastor before him was a great man of God, and said, how in the world are you going to fill his shoes? He said, I'm not going to try. He said, I'm going to fill my own shoes. Amen. If you think you can take somebody else's place, you're entirely wrong. Amen. Everybody has their own place. Praise God. And so we don't try to take anybody's place. Don't try to fill anybody's place. Amen. But we appreciate Brother and Sister Martin and all the ministries that they have done around here. Amen. And we're going to miss you a whole lot, but you know where it is. Amen. Our Sunday school lesson Sunday morning pouring out something really good. It said the greatest of all freedoms is the freedom to come home. Amen. So don't forget where home is. Amen. Praise God. Lord bless you. Praise God. Amen. Good to see everybody tonight. Thankful you're here. And we'll look forward to another great service Sunday morning. Amen. We had a great service last Sunday, didn't we? So y'all enjoy that children's church. We all got to go back a few years. Amen. I appreciate everybody doing your best to do what they were doing. Amen. I don't do real well with that, but I try. Amen. I don't get to go out there and learn those songs and stuff. It takes me a while to learn, so I can get it, but it takes a while. I'm not a fast learner, but I'm a learner. And I'm willing to try. All right. The Lord bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. Praise God. Mm-hmm. All right, Sister Dickerson's sister, they lost their son this last week. And you can only imagine, if you've been down that road, you know. But if you haven't, then it can only be a part of our imagination how difficult that is. So as we pray tonight in our dismissal, would you just remember this family and God give them protection and give them grace and peace, comfort. Lord, we know today that you are the only real comfort and the real peace. You said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives, so give I unto you. And Paul spoke of that peace as something that could pass all understanding. So we ask you to impart that kind of peace to this family in the time of their sorrow, in the time of their grief, and their great loss. And let that Spirit of God draw near to comfort and to strengthen them and to help them through the dark days that may lie ahead. Amen. Light their way. Give them hope. Give them peace and even the joy of the Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. God, we pray that you bless this body of believers. We leave this house, enter into the mission field. Help us to be good witnesses and winsome this week. Help us to find somebody, lead us to somebody that needs the Lord. Amen. Give us influence. Help us, God, to share our testimony with somebody that they can come to the house of the Lord. Amen. Be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to be witnesses this week. We thank you and give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. If you'll shake somebody's hand, you can be dismissed. Amen.